Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And this week is no different. The whole world of science is buzzing with the news about the Webb Space Telescope. Of course, there's been a lot of documentaries about it. People have been amazed at the size and the complexity of the telescope. But what have we learned from the Hubble Space, from the Webb Space Telescope? And for that matter, it costs $10 billion. Is the Webb Space Telescope worth it? Well, with us today, once again, is our favorite astronomer, astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books on astronomy and the universe. For example, one of my favorites is The Universe at Midnight, Alchemy of the Heavens. These are just some of the great books that Ken has written. So we'll talk today about the Webb Space Telescope. And for that matter, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have about 5 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 5 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is about what I do for a living. I work on something called string theory, which we think but cannot yet prove is the fabled theory of everything. Is there an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that will allow us to, quote, read the mind of God? These are the words of Albert Einstein. So get a copy of my latest book, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Well, once again, today we have with us astronomer Ken Croswell, and we're going to talk about the Webb Space Telescope. Is it worth the money? What are we going to learn from it? Will it change our conception of the universe itself? Okay, well, let's just jump right into it. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about the telescope itself, the size, the scale, and what we hope to get from the Webb Space Telescope.
Well, good to be here, Michio. The James Webb Space Telescope was launched on Christmas of 2021, and it has started taking observations. As I think the whole world now knows, this is a very large telescope. It's 256 inches in diameter. That's the size of its mirror. For comparison, the Hubble Space Telescope, which is also up in space and still working, 94 inches in diameter. So this is a much bigger telescope. And the James Webb Space Telescope is working primarily at infrared wavelengths rather than visible light. Now, visible light ranges in color from purple to red. Of those different colors, the longest wavelength is red. And then at even longer wavelengths, which our eyes can't see, those are infrared wavelengths. So that's mostly where the James Webb Space Telescope will be working, although it is capable of detecting the longest visible light as well. So, for example, orange and red it can see, but it cannot see much else in the visible, and it definitely can't do ultraviolet the way the Hubble Space Telescope can do. And so far the telescope has released a few very nice images showing that it is working, and we're going to, of course, be learning a lot more about the universe as a result of this telescope.
Okay, well, you mentioned that the older Hubble Space Telescope has a, quote, blind spot, that it's not that good when you go to the infrared range. And some people say that the reason for that is that the universe is expanding. And if the universe is expanding, that means red light is stretched. And when you stretch red light, it becomes infrared light. And so a lot of the light from the stars is going to be stretched into the infrared, which the Hubble Space Telescope has a blind spot. So are you telling us, therefore, that the Webb Space Telescope can give us an entree into an area of the universe that the Hubble could not, that it could compensate for this blind spot?
Well, the Hubble Space Telescope can see ultraviolets, visible, and some of the infrared, okay? And it's very good for observing things in the Milky Way. It's also very good for observing nearby galaxies, also very good for observing some rather distant galaxies. But to observe the most distant galaxies, and we're talking, let's say, 13 billion light years away, you probably want to observe in the infrared for just the reason that you mentioned. If a photon of light starts off from a galaxy 13 billion light years away, let's say that's visible light, or heck, even let's say it's ultraviolet light, okay? The space between us and that distant galaxy is going to expand so much while that photon is en route to us that even if it starts off as ultraviolet, it's going to get stretched to become visible light and then to become infrared light. So nearly all of that galaxy's radiation is going to arrive here where we are as infrared. And so that's why the James Webb Space Telescope is optimized to detect infrared. So it will be able to detect the radiation from that very distant galaxy, 13 billion light years away. And so the hope is that this telescope will be able to see more distant galaxies than we've ever seen before, maybe even the very first galaxies that formed after the Big Bang, and maybe the very first stars that formed after the Big Bang. The Big Bang, of course, was the great explosion that gave rise to our universe. We think about 13.8 billion years ago.
Now, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, was photographed next to a picture of some of the farthest galaxies, the oldest galaxies, some of them dating back not too far from the Big Bang itself. And the commentary said that if you take a pinpoint of light from the night sky, and magnify that pinpoint, that's the diagram that you see right there on national television. So isn't it amazing, therefore, that just one pinpoint of light, in turn, consists of literally billions of stars? I mean, each dot in that photograph is a galaxy. Galaxies can have up to 100 billion stars. So isn't it amazing that when you look at the night sky, just one pinpoint of light in the night sky can contain hundreds of billions to perhaps trillions of stars?
Yes, indeed. And what you're seeing in that one image, and I think it's the one that you're talking about, there is a galaxy cluster located about 4.5 billion light years from us, and the gravity of that galaxy cluster is actually distorting light from the more distant galaxies and is sort of twisting their shape. So in that one image, the nearby galaxies, the relatively nearby galaxies, 4.5 billion light years actually isn't that very nearby, but they appear rather white in that image, and then the more distant galaxies appear sort of orange and red. And they're kind of twisted around because the gravity of the foreground galaxy cluster is actually distorting the light paths of the more distant galaxies as those light paths pass through that nearer galaxy cluster en route to us here on Earth.
Yeah, I find that amazing. These are called Einstein rings, the fact that light bends under the gravitational field of a star. So a star can be like a magnifying glass. Just like a magnifying glass bends light, allowing you to magnify an image, stars and galaxies can also bend light, just as predicted by Einstein. And so we can have galaxies becoming magnifying lenses so we can see even farther into the past. So isn't that amazing, therefore, that this photograph that Joe Biden was photographed right next to contains some of the farthest stars that we've been able to observe, up to 13.5 a billion light years from the Earth. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue to be awestruck by the Webb Space Telescope. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on the air. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call later to the radio station or the website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio and the internet. Give us a call.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And we are talking about the implications of the Webb Space Telescope, which has been dominating the news. And the question is it really worth the $10 billion that we've sunk into it? Is it going to open up a new chapter in astronomy? Is it going to change our basic vision of the universe itself? Now, children often ask their parents the question, Mommy, Daddy, where is the farthest star? Now, astronomers know that light has a finite velocity. Therefore, in some sense, the Webb Space Telescope is a time machine, able to look peer backwards in time. And you mentioned that the universe is 13.8 billion years old. How close How close are we to being able to get images from 13.8 billion light years from now? How close can we get to the Big Bang itself using the Webb Space Telescope?
Well, already with the James Webb Space Telescope, according to the Sky and Telescope website, we have gotten to 13.5 billion light years away. Okay, so there's a galaxy in that image that we were just talking about before the break that is dates back to just 330 million years after the Big Bang. So these galaxies are incredibly distant, some of them, and these were the very first that formed. And they're smaller galaxies in the Milky Way. And the big galaxies, like the Milky Way, came together as these smaller galaxies collided and acquired more, you know, as the various galaxies smashed together, galaxies like the Milky Way grew into giants. Galaxies like Andromeda, like the Whirlpool Galaxy. So the giant galaxies, such as the one we live in, the Milky Way, are the product of smaller galaxies coming together at the dawn of time, at this epoch that the James Webb Space Telescope is now exploring.
Now, this process of galactic collisions, isn't it continuing in the sense that Andromeda, as you mentioned, is a gigantic galaxy, perhaps maybe even bigger than our galaxy, but it's headed our way? I mean, isn't it true that our galaxy will, in some sense, collide with a neighboring galaxy and maybe absorbed into it? What are your thoughts?
The latest data indicate that probably will happen, maybe, and it will start to happen maybe about 5 billion years from now, so something that's going to happen immediately. And when the two galaxies, both of which are giant, come together, the many stars in the two galaxies will not actually smash into each other because there's so much space in between the stars. So we really don't have anything to worry about. What will almost certainly happen is that the gas clouds in the Milky Way will collide with gas clouds in the Andromeda Galaxy and give rise to lots of new star formation. So for a time, as those two galaxies merge and coalesce, we should see an enormous avalanche of new stars in our sky. So that will be quite spectacular, and that should start happening maybe, you know, 5 or 6 billion years from now. And as we have new observations from the Gaia spacecraft and the Hubble Space Telescope, those are going to help us track better the motion of Andromeda. So I'm hoping maybe in 10 years from now we'll have a better timeline for exactly when Andromeda will be moving into our neighborhood.
Now also, NASA released a picture of the Carina Nebula. And if you're a fan of science fiction movies, you know that when the starship goes into intergalactic space and cruises near these gigantic nebula, that one of them is the Carina Nebula, gigantic finger-like projectiles coming out from the cloud. And we have now great photographs from the Webb Space Telescope. But isn't that nebula also a nursery? A nursery for baby stars as they're created? In other words, aren't we seeing stars in all phases of their life cycle, from birth to maturation to eventual death, when we look at these nebula?
Well, in the case of the Carina Nebula, we are definitely looking at a stellar nursery. This is a cloud of gas and dust in space that is giving birth to new stars. Individual sections of that gas cloud collapse, and as the gas collapses, it gets compressed and it heats up, and anything that is sufficiently hot, this is the law of physics, anything that's sufficiently hot will start to glow. And at that point, a star is born, because you've got an object in space that is giving off light. No nuclear reactions are required. In fact, the sun was born in a place probably rather similar to the Carina Nebula. And for the first many millions of years of its life, it was shining simply because it was hot, because it was compressing its gas under the force of gravity. It was not really engaged in nuclear reactions. Those started later, maybe 15, 20 million years later, is when the sun turned on its main nuclear power source. And ever since, the sun has powered itself through nuclear reactions. So this is how stars are born. They start off in these clouds of gas and dust. They collapse under the weight of gravity, gravity compresses the gas, that makes the gas hot, and the stars shine. No nuclear reactions required. Nuclear reactions happen later as the core of the star gets so hot that the protons smash together and turn into helium. Protons are really hydrogen nuclei, and what the sun is doing right now is it's smashing hydrogen and making it into helium, and in that reaction, it powers itself and has for the last 4.5 billion years. So yes, when we look at the Carina Nebula, that image from the James Webb Space Telescope, we are looking at the birth of new suns. And if there was a civilization in our galaxy 4.5 billion years ago with a telescope like the James Webb Space Telescope or the Hubble Space Telescope, who knows, they may have taken a picture of the gas cloud that gave birth to the sun and the Earth. You never know.
Well, you know, a lot of people like to have scrapbooks of their children and, of course, their parents and grandparents and their family tree. But if you take a look at these nebula, are we in some sense looking at a snapshot of our own history, that our sun was once just like one of these baby stars in this nebula? And this life cycle goes on and on and on. And so we become aware of the fact that we are part of a much larger cosmic history when we look at birth of stars. What are your thoughts?
Yes, indeed. 4.6 billion years ago, the sun and the Earth were part of a gas cloud like the Carina Nebula, like the Orion Nebula, like many nebulae in the Milky Way. And as I say, if there was some civilization in the galaxy back then, maybe they've got our baby picture. Maybe we should contact them and ask, hey, do you have any pictures of the sun and the Earth being born 4.6 billion years ago? So yes, indeed, we are definitely looking at our sun as it was 4.5 billion years ago when we look at some of these newborn stars in the Carina Nebula.
Now, stars, of course, have this life cycle. Large stars, bigger than our sun, will actually, in their later stages, explode into a supernova. And some people think that that's where the higher elements came from, being cooked in the heat of a gigantic supernova. Now, our sun has higher elements. Elements that cannot be fused using ordinary fusion reactions of hydrogen and helium. So doesn't that mean that our sun is maybe a second generation or a third generation star? That what you see in the sky, in some sense, is not our true mother, not our true predecessor, because the elements of our body could not have been cooked by the heat of our sun. That the elements that we see in our body, the elements that we see around us, the higher elements beyond iron, for example, weren't they in fact cooked by a distant star whose name we don't even know? A star that really truly was our mother or grandmother? What are your thoughts?
Oh, no. The elements on Earth, the elements in our bodies are the product of millions and millions and millions of different stars. Not just one star. So the oxygen we breathe, the iron in our blood, the calcium in our bones, the gold on Earth, these are the product of countless stars that preceded the birth of the sun and the Earth. And you're right, the sun did not create those elements. It was other stars, but there were millions and millions and millions of them. So, you know, we're not second generation, third generation. We're probably billionth generation in the cosmic history.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, I want to talk about extrasolar planets like gigantic Jupiters. Is this telescope capable of looking at the potential for life in some of these planets? Give us a call. Our hotline number is 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
ICE is ramping up deportations as the Biden administration policy awaits a Supreme Court decision. The San Diego Union-Tribune is reporting that ICE is no longer prioritizing the deportation of illegal immigrants with a criminal history and is now arresting illegal immigrants at their scheduled check-ins. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha at the White House podium gives an update on the status of President Biden's COVID diagnosis and treatment.
It's great to see the president doing better. He's doing better because he is vaccinated, he is boosted, he's getting treatment. He is getting world-class treatment, exactly what you would expect for the president of the United States.
He says the president is sleeping and eating. The White House says Biden continues to work in isolation and that his symptoms are improving. USA Radio News. Two men suspected of trafficking fentanyl in the United States skipped their court appearance on Thursday.
Two accused drug traffickers from Washington State busted with 150,000 fentanyl pills during a California traffic stop last month failed to show up in court Thursday after being released on California's new soft-on-crime cashless bail. After the no-show, the judge withdrew the prior $2 million bond and directed each to be held without bond if they turn up on the system. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Investigators have again come up empty in the search for the remains of Teamster Union boss Jimmy Hoffa, who disappeared 47 years ago. The FBI announced on Thursday that a nine-month investigation debunked the deathbed confession by a man who claimed he buried Hoffa's body in a barrel under a bridge in Jersey City, New Jersey. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today, once again, is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens and The Universe at Midnight and Magnificent Mars. And today we're talking about, well, what did we learn from the Hubble and, of course, the Webb Space Telescope, which is now giving us these gorgeous photographs. In fact, it is up to 100 times more powerful than the Hubble Space Telescope. And the clarity, the sharpness of these photographs is absolutely amazing. And the Webb Space Telescope, as you mentioned, can see things that the Hubble Space Telescope could not see. basically light in the infrared range. The Hubble Space Telescope is simply not that good at peering into the infrared range. And so there was a blind spot there that the Hubble Space Telescope can rectify. But let's also talk about something on a smaller scale. So far we've talked about galaxies and gigantic stars and black holes and things. But now let's talk about extrasolar planets. Planets that are tiny in comparison to a star. And the Webb Space Telescope is able to get us a little bit of information about an extrasolar planet the size of approximately Jupiter. So tell us a little bit about the fact that the Webb Space Telescope may be able to give us information about the atmospheres, chemical composition of planets going around distant stars.
Well, planets are much harder to observe than stars. Stars give off their own visible light. Planets don't. In fact, I wrote a whole book about extrasolar planets entitled Planet Quest, and that's all about the struggle for finding planets going around other stars. They're just much harder to detect. But planets do emit a form of radiation. It's not visible light. You know, the Earth doesn't make any visible light. If you looked at Earth in space, you would see visible light, but that's simply sunlight reflecting off the Earth. Nevertheless, that sunlight warms up the Earth, and as a result, because of that warmth, the Earth does emit its own infrared radiation. And since, as we've been pointing out, the James Webb Space Telescope is optimized to perform at infrared wavelengths, it's able to detect this infrared radiation from extrasolar planets, planets going around other stars. And in fact, it has actually done that already for one such planet going around a star. As you say, it's about the size of Jupiter. It's detected water vapor in that planet's atmosphere. Water vapor absorbs certain wavelengths of infrared light. Not at all a surprise that there's water vapor on this planet. There's water vapor on, for example, our Jupiter and our Saturn. So it looks like this planet, whose name is WASP-96b, is perhaps rather similar to Jupiter in that it has water in its atmosphere. The big difference, though, is this planet is much closer to its star, and it goes around the star every 3 days, whereas Jupiter takes 12 years to go around the sun. So this planet is way, way hotter than Jupiter, and we refer to these giant hot planets as hot Jupiters. They're definitely not a place you would want to live.
And given the fact that each dot on some of these photographs corresponds to a galaxy, and each galaxy in turn can contain up to roughly 100 billion stars, and we can see billions of galaxies in this photograph, therefore the number of extrasolar planets out there is probably in the trillions, trillions upon trillions. And so you think, therefore, that life as we know it can exist off the Earth? Well, let's take a short commercial break, but let's ask the question, will the Webb telescope give us a new understanding of our role and position in the universe? Once again, give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic. 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the Webb Space Telescope, a piece of hardware, $10 billion, that allows us to peer into the heavens with clarity 100 times that of the earlier Hubble Space Telescope. And with us today to explain the implications of this is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including The Alchemy of the Heavens and The Universe at Midnight and Magnificent Mars. You can Google it. And so we're talking about, well, can life exist on some of these planets, given the fact that the Webb Space Telescope has actually zeroed in on a Jupiter-sized planet and has begun to analyze the atmosphere. And who knows, maybe one day we'll be able to detect oxygen, nitrogen, and the different chemicals of life on some of these distant stars with planets going around them. So, Ken, do you think it's amazing the fact that we can now begin the process of perhaps photographing extrasolar planets and perhaps cataloging them? 5,000 of them have been found so far. And what are your thoughts about the probability that life could exist on them? What are your thoughts?
Well, there is no question there are lots of planets going around lots of stars, and there are lots of stars in the universe and lots of galaxies in the universe. So there are almost certainly planets similar to Earth in the sense of having a similar mass, similar composition, similar temperature. Okay? But that's not the question you asked me. You asked me, is there life on any of these planets? And the honest answer is, I do not know, because I do not know how readily life arises on a good planet, a planet like Earth. It may be that life is pretty much inevitable, that if you have a good planet, that most of the time life does arise. That is often the default view of a lot of scientists. However, I do like to point out that even the simplest life is incredibly complex. And we really don't know what the steps are that happened here on Earth to go from non-living molecular compounds up to even the simplest life. And so it could be that the development of even simple life is extremely improbable. And so no matter how many planets like Earth you might have in the universe, if the probability of even simple life arising is really, really low, then it is entirely possible that Earth is the only planet in the universe that has life. So let me give you an example. Let's say there's 10 to the 22 planets in the universe that are similar to Earth in terms of mass, diameter, temperature, you know, good planets, in other words. They've got atmospheres, all the good stuff. But let's say the probability of life arising on a planet is only 1 in 10 to the 24. Okay? So despite that huge number of good planets out there, it could be that life only arose on one planet, and that is the Earth. So we just don't know. We do not know whether there is life on other planets or not, but hopefully we will someday find out. Because if we survey a whole bunch of planets like Earth and we discover none of them has life, that would tell us something. That would say life is pretty rare. On the other hand, we may find just the opposite, that we take a look at planets like Earth and we find many of them have at least some form of life. It might be primitive life, the way the Earth had for many, many years, but it will be life nonetheless. So it's an experiment that we can do over the next, the coming decades.
Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question. We know that rocks from Mars have been blown into outer space by meteor impacts. These rocks float for millions of years in deep space until they land on the planet Earth. And we find not one, but quite a few different Martian meteors on the Earth. We have Mars rocks on the Earth. And some people have claimed that the solar system is like a ping pong table. Think of a ping pong table with different kinds of meteors being blown out of the moon, being blown out of different planetary bodies and landing on other planetary bodies. So even if it's very difficult to get DNA off the ground, once DNA gets off the ground on one planet, perhaps it can seed other planets. Well, what are your thoughts? Let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we'll talk about whether or not it's possible to seed the solar system with DNA. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 if you want to get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Ken Croswell, astronomer at Berkeley. When we last left off, we were asking a simple question. Some people think that meteors from Mars have landed on the Earth, and if DNA gets off the ground on one planetary body, perhaps it can seed other planetary bodies by meteor impacts. But, well, what are your thoughts, Ken?
Well, there's no question that there are meteorites that have come from Mars, and we have them here on Earth. We have them in our laboratories. We're able to identify that they're from Mars. We also have some from the Moon, and we're able to identify both of them based on their isotopic composition. So there's no debate over that. Can life spread from one planet to another via meteorites? Well, I don't know. The thing is, the Earth obviously does have life, but it's harder for rocks to get off of Earth than it is to get off of Mars. And the reason is because Earth is about 10 times more massive than Mars, so it has a stronger gravitational field. We also have a thicker atmosphere that makes it a little harder to get off of Earth and into space. So it's not clear to me just how easily it would be for rocks on Earth containing life to get into space. And then, of course, that life has to somehow survive the very harsh environment of space. And then eventually, maybe millions of years later, land on another planet, maybe Mars, maybe Venus. But it's not clear to me that you can spread life in this way. I mean, it's not clear to me that you can't either, but I honestly do not know whether life can spread in this fashion.
Okay, Ken, also you have a new article that came out concerning the chemical composition of the sun, which has upset some earlier theories. We know the sun is made out of hydrogen and some helium, but also carbon and oxygen. And there's a debate about the chemical composition of the sun, which has implications for the universe, because we use the sun as a yardstick. We use the sun as a yardstick to judge the chemical composition of other stars in the heavens. So what is this new controversy?
Yes, this is exactly right. The sun is our standard for measuring abundances throughout the entire universe. So, for example, when we look at those distant galaxies in the James Webb Space Telescope images, we're going to want to measure their compositions, and then we're going to compare them to the sun. But believe it or not, we don't know what the sun is made of. As you mentioned, it's made mostly of hydrogen and helium, but the next most abundant elements, we're not sure how many there are of them. I mean, oxygen is the most common, followed by carbon, but there's been a huge controversy for the last 20 years as to whether the level of those heavier elements like oxygen and carbon are higher or lower. I did a story on that for Knowable Magazine, which is available freely online. Just go to knowablemagazine.org and you can search in my name, Ken Croswell. And then the most recent story I did, and this appears on the Science News website, that's what you're referring to. And we now have a new clue, which is really fascinating, because at the center of the sun, there are, of course, nuclear reactions occurring, and they give off neutrinos. And these are these amazing particles that pass through virtually anything. So it just takes 8 minutes for those neutrinos to get from the center of the sun to the Earth. And we detect them on Earth, and there's this experiment that went on for several years called Boroxino, located beneath Italy, okay? And they were detecting neutrinos from a nuclear reaction on the sun that involves carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen. And so the more carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen the sun truly has, the more of these so-called CNO, that's carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, neutrinos they should detect. And to at least my surprise, they find a high number of CNO neutrinos. In fact, even higher than the people who advocate for a high middle sun, and way higher than the people that have been advocating for a low metal sun. So based on this experiment, it looks like the sun may very well have a very high level of heavy elements such as oxygen and carbon. And of course, we will want to do other experiments like this, other neutrino experiments like this, to detect those CNO neutrinos, and that will give us a better handle on what the sun is made of. And as you correctly point out, the sun is our abundance standard for the whole universe. So if we don't know what the sun is made of, in a sense, we don't know what the whole universe is made of.
Well, given the fact that we use the sun as a yardstick, and if the yardstick is off, does that mean, therefore, that astronomy books that high school kids have to read, that they may have to be revised, that it gives us a different picture of the stars in the heaven?
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, the difference between the high side and the low side is about 40%. In this big debate. And as I say, these new Boroxino neutrino measurements indicate that the sun is probably even more metal abundant than the high metal sun people are saying. So yes, if you take a look at, for example, how many oxygen atoms there are in the universe relative to hydrogen, that's something we know only by studying the sun. So if our estimate for that number goes up or down, then our estimate for the whole universe goes up or down. And what that means is, let's say that there are more oxygen atoms in space than we had thought. That means that the stars of the universe, and they made those oxygen atoms. In fact, it was mostly massive stars that made those oxygen atoms. And those stars have been much more productive than we had thought over the life of the universe. So it's a very important matter that we know the chemical composition of the universe. And for that, we use the sun. So I'm hoping very much there will be other neutrino experiments in the next 10 years that will detect these neutrinos from the sun and establish the sun's composition.
Okay, well, Ken, we've run out of time. So once again, Ken, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Once again, give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And my latest book, a New York Times bestseller, is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. The equation that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life. Find out what all the excitement is about. Find out whether or not there is a theory of everything. Good day.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.